all say amen. Take your Bible, go with me to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. I'm not worried about going to Hebrews in the 5th chapter. You know where that's at. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, we won't be there for a number of years, so we can go to the scripture there. And for those of you who don't know what that means, on weekends we go line upon line, precept upon precept. For years we've been in five chapters. And so it'll be a long time. We're in no hurry around this place. We teach line upon line, precept upon precept, the Word of God. But tonight's a little bit different. We're going to step away from that. We're going to go to some scripture. The title of the message is Patiently Waiting on the Lord. It's a quality that I hate. And I find that most people hate it also. Just waiting on God. Something boring about that. Can't we just kind of like speed this up? I mean, I'm broke now. I could do something if you just give me the money now, not down the road. I don't know if I need it down the road, but I do know I need it now. Could I have it right now? Is anybody ever in a hurry besides me? I find in the scripture that God talks an awful lot about this word called patience. It's an amazing word. And when you add it to your Christian vocabulary, listen to this, and then add it as a biblical principle in your heart, it changes your life dramatically. Patience is a word that most people don't want any part of. In fact, foolish people pray to God, say something like this. Well, God, you know, give me patience. Never pray to God about giving you patience. He'll just hold everything off until you finally have patience. So the object is to pretend at least that you do have patience. Of course, God knows inside of your heart whether you do or don't. But when you have patience, something dramatically takes place. There's more than just the development of your heart that takes place with the application of patience in your life. There isn't anybody in here that hasn't tried something, done something, been believing God for something. And it just didn't come the way you thought it ought to come. It didn't happen as fast as you would like to have had it happen. It was just something you often said to God. God, it's okay, but I don't understand why. Why didn't it happen? Why didn't it come about? Why did it take so long? And then if it ever, and then maybe it hasn't even come to pass yet. I was talking with my daughter not too long ago. She was a daughter that I, of course, had at when she was born, she was 20-some years old before she came to live with us. She had lived with her mother for 20-some-odd years in Las Vegas and got caught up in all of the trash of Las Vegas. She was talking about her boys and her life, and she made a statement. She said, I just don't understand why things take so long. I said, if there's anybody ought to know the answer to that, it ought to be you. I waited over 20 years for answered prayers with you. I'm grateful that God answered the prayers when He did and how He did. If He had answered them earlier, they may not have come out the way that they came out. Which is an interesting thought, isn't it? Let me take you, if I may, into some scripture. And I want to just share them with you tonight because, may I promise you this? You're going to have to. I'm going to say it again one more time. You're going to have to. One more time. You're going to have to live your life with an attitude of patience with God, because God is not in a hurry for anything. And I don't know why He isn't in a hurry. I guess He's saying something to all of us that time is not going to run Him. He runs time. And quite frankly, He doesn't need anything we have to offer. He lets us offer. Are you following me? And there's this wonderful verse in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse number 36. It says it like this. It says, you have need of endurance. In the old King James, I'll pop that up for you right now because it says the same thing, but it says it differently. You have need of patience. That after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Sometimes we read that, we hear it. But it really hasn't settled down on the inside of us because we face situations every day of our life that don't seem to be changing, don't seem to come to pass. Our prayers don't seem to be answered, you know, our finances never seem to change. Even the situations of our life just never really changes. I have a little service on Sabbath morning. I'm dedicated to that Sabbath morning service. Well, I don't know how many years. Would you guess that we've had a Sabbath service? Maybe 12, 13 years? It just doesn't grow. Many times people have come to me and said, why don't you just give it up? Because I'm just not giving up. God's not in any hurry. It's going to be one of the greatest, most powerful services of the week. And I'm just here to tell you, it hasn't started yet. Timing isn't taking place yet. Things haven't happened yet. The promise comes along and says, you have need of something. Then he comes along and he doesn't just say endurance. Endurance means you can push through and keep pushing through and keep pushing through. But the word patience means sitting back waiting. So he says, you have need of patience, that after you have done the will, after you have done the will of God. I don't know about you. After I've done the will of God, I expect results. Am I the only one in here, after I do the will of God, I say, hey, I've done it. I've walked in love, or I've walked in faith. I've done it. It's time now. You know, and it still doesn't happen. Has anybody ever been there besides me? He says, after you've done the will of God, I'm expecting some results. After time, it doesn't. He says, you might receive the promise. So after I've done the will of God, tells me I have to do something first with patience. I have to do the will of God. Then I have to not only do the will of God, I've got to be patient until the results come, so promise. So it's a real insight in where we're all going and what this is really all about. Interesting verse. I'm taking another little verse that's kind of fun. Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 7 chapter, verse number 8, just popped up overhead. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. Wait a minute. I don't know if you realize what he just said. The end of a thing is better than the beginning of a thing. So that means if I let something play out to the end, it will be better than the beginning. But if I don't let something play out to the end, then it's not as good as the beginning. And he says, listen to this. The patient spirit is better than the proud spirit. Someone says, well, what does that mean? The proud spirit's about itself. The patient spirit's about God. When your spirit trusts the Lord in a spirit of patience for the results that you haven't seen but you know you want, that are coming someday when you don't know when it's going to happen, then his promise to you is the end is better than the beginning. And he also says it's a whole lot better than to have an egotistical spirit about yourself, pride. It's better for you to have a spirit of patience, because then it's about God doing the work, his timing, his will, his place. You stop, you think about it for your lives and my life. You know, you stop and talk about like Joseph, for an example. What a weird character he is in the Bible. I mean, he gets this dream, right? He tells his brothers, tells his father. And his brothers get mad at him, beat him up, throw him down a hole, drag him out, sell him off to a caravan that's going to Egypt. He's in slavery for years, and then he has to stand righteous, all the pressure's on him. Now listen to this. Then he gets thrown into prison. And then he eventually goes from prison to the palace and runs and governs all of Egypt, only years later to make a statement, it was for God's good that this was to be. The end is better than the beginning. And you stop and you think about, well, what did the guy do between the time he heard from God on the, you know, the dream that God gave him and the time that it came to pass? I would have given up, wouldn't you? I would have said, man, that must have been the pizza I ate that night. And forget it. I don't know where that dream come from. You know, too much salami or something. And you know, you find yourself in a place. You know, stop and think about a guy like that. He had to be incredibly patient because it was probably anywhere from 15 to 20 years before he became empowered. In a prison. The furthest place from ever achieving and accomplishing what he thought he should be achieving and accomplishing. That's like crazy, my friends. And yet here he is. There's nobody to talk to him. There's no preachers. He doesn't go to church on Sunday. He doesn't get to read his Bible about himself or somebody like him. He just has to be patient from the beginning to have better results to the end. How about David? I mean, David's half minding his own business on the hills of Judea singing to sheep. His whole day is bothered by whether they go poop or don't go poop. I mean, that's like no big deal, you know, drink a little water, eat some grass. Wow, how cool is this job? You know, and all of a sudden they call him in, they anoint him king. And then he's facing a giant. Like, what's that all about? And he's facing this giant. He's going to be king. And then he's facing the giants after that. And then he finally, somewhere down the line, as he grows up, maybe 15 years later, he had to exercise some patience. He had nobody telling him what to do and how to do it. He had nobody coming along. He didn't have a church service to go to and raise his hands and sing songs and hear messages about faith. He just had to be patient in the midst of all of that. I mean, you stop thinking about Paul, for an example. How nutty is that? God gives him the dispensation of grace. That's a time period of grace. Nobody else had it but Paul. And for 14 years, he stays out of Jerusalem. He's in the wilderness for 14 years. And then when he goes to Jerusalem, here you find everybody in Jerusalem that should be his brothers supporting him. Man, they're taking vows to kill him. Nobody's there. James, Peter, John, you don't see anybody helping Paul. They can hardly wait for him to be thrown into jail. He's in jail for 2 years. You got to be kidding me. What a lie. Then he gets off of that, gets shipwrecked, snake bit. Then he gets, oh my goodness, before he even gets to the place in Rome where they're going to kill him eventually. This is like a miserable thing. He's got to be patient in order for things to happen in his life. And here we come along. Let's be honest with each other. We try Christianity, we give our heart to the Lord, we sing songs, we learn stuff, and when things don't happen as fast as they want them, we think they ought to happen. We give up, we quit, we grumble, we complain, we call God out. Come on, somebody, you know what I'm talking about. And it ought not to be. In fact, Jesus makes a statement in Luke 21st chapter, verse 19. Pop it up, I think it's 21:19. Jesus makes a statement, by your patience, possess your souls. By your patience, possess your... You know what that means? In other words, if you don't have patience, you'll never have control of your thinking. It'll just take you everywhere. You'll be down, discouraged, frustrated. You'll never have it. The end will never be better than the beginning. Is anybody listening? Patience is a powerful word. So let me just share with you three quick principles with you, if I may. I call them disciplines. Disciplines means this. It's something you do in order to perfect what it is you're doing. It's called disciplines. Three disciplines to patience. First one is my favorite. They're all good, but this is my favorite one. Three disciplines to patience. Make patience part of your plan. In other words, when you plan to do something, do you ever work in the word patience? No, you don't. And you know that. You say, I'm going to go to this and this city, and I'm going to do this and this business, and I'm going to do that. And then you remember the verse out of James that said, well, if God tells us we should do that, then that's what we should do. Okay, so then you go back to God, you pray about it with God. But did you know something that God wants to work out the plan? He doesn't want to just give you the results. He wants to give you the results his way. And in order for his way results to come, he's going to have to manipulate, work on, change, put people in the right place, take the right timing. It's like a big chessboard called Earth. And he's playing the game, getting you to right where you need to be. If my daughter had come to me when she was 15 years old, it would have never worked. She would have never gone through what she went through. She'd have never been the Christian she is today. If she'd have come, which I wanted her more than anything, come and live with us. I even went to court at 12 years old and fought for her because I knew she was in an ungodly home. And man, the courts didn't care a bit in those days. And Deborah and I fought for her. Now she's, you know, pushing 40 years old or something, but at that time, if she had come when she was 10 years old and or 12 years old, I would have been so thrilled. It would have been an answer to prayer, but it wouldn't have been the complete answer. You've got to hear this. You've got to give time for God to complete the desire of your heart. And it takes patience to give God the time to fulfill the plan that God has for your life. Are you following me? In other words, my Sabbath servant hasn't come to pass like I've envisioned it to come to pass. But can I tell you something? Somehow God is moving this and moving that, making this happen and making that happen. And it may take another 10 years or 12 years, but it's going to happen and it's going to come to pass because God is moving heaven and earth. And sometimes that takes time. And I've got to trust that God's in my plan more than my result. Because the results I need are the perfect plan of God. Oh, come on, somebody. Now, watch this. The Bible makes it very clear in James, first chapter, verse number 4. It says, but let your patience have her perfect work. James 1, 4. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete. In other words, if it doesn't have its perfect work, you're not going to get perfect and complete. Lacking. What's that word?
Nothing.
Wait a minute. Lacking what?
Nothing.
Wait a minute. Lacking what?
Nothing.
Wait a minute. If you don't let patience work its way out and work all the details of the blessings that you're wanting from God, then it might be that you get what you think is the blessings of God, but it'll be lacking something and won't be perfect and complete. So built into the formula of our life has got to be the plan that, okay, God, here's what I'm going to do. Here's how it's going to work. And I'm going to be patient no matter how long it takes until it comes to pass. Because I know you're, from this moment on, when I say amen, you're working on it for me to be perfect and wanting nothing. Somebody ought to give me a great big amen. You know it's true. We're talking about three disciplines of patience. Second one, patience. And I should have used the word use. I should have, you know, where it says the second title here, I meant to use the word use patience in a time of pressure. So let's put up patience in a time of pressure, and I'll explain what that means. But use patience is, I wanted to use the word use. You use patience in a time of pressure. When there is pressure on you, you must understand that's the process you go through in order to get to the blessings. It is not an uncommon thing to have pressure on you. It happens to everybody in Scripture. God never comes along and says, well, you know, you're immune to pressure. You'll never have a problem again. Well, you won't have a problem again as long as you keep casting your cares on He that careth. But we're learning how to do that. And in a time of pressure, I've got to realize that's a time for me to exercise great patience. And that should be the bell that goes off. That's the whistle in my heart. That's the umpire in my life that says, wait a minute, stop, Jim. You're under pressure for something. Now it's time. It's time for you to exercise patience under this pressure. Have you ever been under pressure where you said, I got to have it by Friday? I just got to have it by Friday. You ever notice Friday comes and goes? And then you say, I got to have it by Monday. And then Monday comes and goes. You got to have it by Wednesday. I got to have it by Wednesday. I mean, you need to understand that during this time of pressure, which is very common, is a time that I apply something very unusual. I apply patience. God is in control. There's this great little verse in Scripture found in 2 Thessalonians. Go there with me as Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica. And as he writes to the church at Thessalonica, he writes something that just caught my eye, if you will, in the first chapter of 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verse number 3.
in verse number 4 and verse number 5. It says, "And we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abound towards each other." Verse number 4. "So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God." What for? "For your patience and faith." Isn't it interesting how he said patience, then faith? We talk so much about faith, but real faith has got to have patience working in order to hold your faith place. "Your patience and faith in all of your persecutions and tribulations that you endured." He goes on, says, "Man, you really endured it." In times of pressure, you and I have got to be wise enough to walk in two areas. One, patience. The second, faith. And you'll never have faith if there's no patience that goes with it. Because it's without it, you just get run off. We're talking about disciplines to patience. Number 3, I like this. Patience. Use patience in the face of time. Ever been in a hurry? Ever said to yourself, "This has got to happen now"? I don't know. It happens more and more to me. Maybe it's because of my age. You know, this year, I'm 68 years old. This year, I see my life changing more than I've ever seen it change. I'm not able to do the things I used to do. In my 50s, I loved snow skiing. In my late 50s, I loved sailing, and early 60s. Now I find myself in my latter part of the 60s completely different. Time plays the biggest role in my life than ever before. Because I find myself feeling, and it's not true, but I find myself feeling that I'm running out of time, and whatever it is that I've got to accomplish, I've got to accomplish now. And I want it now, today, on time, quick and fast. And I was talking to God about it. He said, "You've always been that way. Even when you were 20, you were very impatient, wanting it now. Your favorite restaurant was Taco Bell when you drove in and got it for 20 cents off if it was over 30 seconds before you got it all." In the face of time, you and I have got to use patience. God is no hurry whatsoever. And if God can bring something to pass at age 20, God can bring something to pass at age 40, and I can enjoy it as much at age 40. And then I can enjoy it as much at age 60 or 70 or 80, because the enjoyment doesn't come from the thing. The enjoyment comes from the presence of God. Is anybody listening? So I find myself oftentimes, I don't know, it's just part of the nature on the inside of me. I want it, and I want it now. In fact, poor Deborah, I think I drive her nuts. She always says to me, "Do you want me to make you a sandwich or something?" I have to tell you, she's not here, so I'll just tell you the truth. She is the best sandwich maker in the whole world. No doubt about it, but she takes her time. It's like 40 minutes later, I get this sandwich. Man, girl, just get 2 pieces of bread and slap some crappy cheese on there, throw a gob of mayonnaise on it, throw some mustard on it, and give it to the man. You know, it's like 40 minutes later. She's great at making it, but I got to have it now. You know what I'm talking about. I read this verse in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verse number 13, speaking of Abraham. Don't you just love Abraham? God speaks to him, you're going to have a son. He gets all excited, man. Can you imagine how thrilled he was? His name is going to be called Isaac. I'm 90 years old. Wow, this is going to be great. He's 91 years old. Where's Isaac? In fact, where's Sarah? "92 years old, where's Sarah again? It's that time of year. Used to be every day. But when you're 100, it's once a year. You know what I'm talking about if you're my age. God, only at the Rock do we talk about such things, you know what I mean? Any other church would throw me out. So here's Abraham. He's going to have this baby. He's finally 100 years old. Can I tell you something? Did he enjoy it as much as any child? Man, he was with that boy all the time. He had a relationship with him that was dynamic. He went hiking with him up the top of the mountain. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Carrying a bundle of wood and an axe. I mean, the guy's camping with his kid. He didn't tell his kid he was the fire. So Abraham's this amazing man of, if you really want to know, faith, yes, but phenomenal patience. And he says this in verse 13 of the sixth chapter. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by any greater, he swore by himself. That in itself I could preach to you a month on. Just that, what I just said. It's amazing. Saying, surely blessings I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. After he had patiently endured. We face things and we want them now. We're in financial crisis now. We need health now. We need success in our life now. We need everything now. It doesn't make sense to us why God doesn't meet our needs now. But what if God's got a plan that the end is going to be a whole lot better than the beginning? And you and I have got to live a life of patience, knowing assuredly. A great missionary to India spent his entire life interpreting the Bible, translating the Bible into an Indian dialect just to have it at the end of his life burn up in a fire and lost all of it. You say, what's that all about? Would you be mad at God? I would be. He just started all over. Kept on going. Why? Because this is not about us. It's about Him. If it's about us, then it's about pride. But if it's about Him, then it's about patience in one who knows how to take care of tomorrow. If God spoke to you tonight, give the Lord a great big praise. Can we do that? God is good. Wave at me if God spoke to you tonight. Hallelujah. You ought to be happy then you came to church. I'm happy.